Good morning, planet Earth. It's your good friend Dan, podcasting from the park. You could call it park casting. I'm sure I don't own it. I'm sure there's REI companies, shell companies for various companies that own parkcasting.com. Not Dan, though. So basically, I wanted to say something. If you saw the cover art for the previous podcast, Dan, are you just sitting in the park drinking Coca-Cola and smoking cigarettes? Well, no. The thing about the last few weeks, and I don't know how to put this, I had a way of interacting with the world, and it worked, and it was functional, and it kept me above water as far as, you know, managing depression and other stuff. But about 6 weeks ago, for lots of reasons, to include the fact that the place I was living would no longer be a place I could be living, and this is not anyone to blame, this is life. The two people that let me live with them in Utah for the last 2.5 years will be in my prayers for the rest of my life. So it's nothing to do with them, it's just life. You know, conditions, good luck, bad luck. But am I giving myself a couple days of respite right now? Am I chilling out just a little bit from my crazy? Am I trying to degauss my soul? Yeah, I'm trying to degauss my soul a bit. And the cigarettes are basically a poor man's antidepressant. I mean, they make you a bit more anxious. That is the truth. But in lieu of what I was doing to manage my depression, this was the panic button. Do I intend to be smoking cigarettes because they're so god-awful expensive to smoke any that aren't poison? Do I intend to be doing that indefinitely? The simple answer is no. But I'm falling back on coping mechanisms that help me keep my head above water. So if you want to send me, Dan, I didn't send you the donation so you could buy a pack of cigarettes. If you want to, you can. The likelihood, given that I'd have to assume you've been a listener, that you would send that email is zero. I think most of you understand me. Most of you realize who I am. I'm a hobo named Dan, a shaman in the wilderness, walking technology's corridors and trying to find a home in that strange world of a digital future. So that, I wanted to give you that update. You guys showed a ton of generosity in the last couple days. It's bought me time, and time is a resource. I'm not going to waste it. It bought me time to consider a couple courses of action. I've already spoken to a few of you via email and whatnot. You know who you are. And all I can say is I really appreciate the help. I now have stuff to noodle on. The likelihood that I'll be making a decision today or tomorrow is probably zero. But I hope by Friday to have a pretty good idea of what I'm going to do next. And for a traveler on this strange multi-dimensional universe where sound waves push against the rock and the rock pushes against the sun, where the water changes the face of the earth and the earth changes the water. Yeah. It is August the 23rd, 2023. Can you believe it? It's almost 11 a.m. on a Wednesday in the park here in Greenkentown, Washington State. Just in the park with the kind, kind, good people, the people that we're surrounded with every day. Am I right? They're in the car in traffic. They yield. They know what to do on the road. They never block the fast lane. They keep their cars in good shape. So when you take the 520 bridge, you never get stuck there. There's never a flat tire. the radiator doesn't blow out, you don't get angry. You never get angry, do you? I've been asked the question before, where did Dr. Freckles come from? And it's hard to pinpoint an exact point in time, but I've pondered it. In May of 2010, right? I just want to double check this here. On May 6, 2010, Fat Finger Tony pushes the button. Fat Finger Tony throws the switch. Algo trade. Dump, dump, dump the NASDAQ, dump the Dow, dump it all, baby. And we had the flash crash. Remember that? May the 6th, 2010. On that date, not far from Wall Street, just about the time that Fat Finger Tony pushed that button, on that date in 2010, that springtime day when you can imagine life beginning again, Fat Finger Tony, he pushed the magical button. The NASDAQ dumped, the Dow Jones dumped, in a dumpster not far from Wall Street, a flash of light, an explosion. And out of the dumpster came an infant Dr. Freckles. He was a clown, folk, you having the clown features from birth, you know, a little bit like Krusty the Clown. He was more or less clown folk. He had clown hair, strange and disarray, but he was a child, but he grew up quickly, like maybe several times the speed of a normal person. So by the year, you know, by the year 2011, he was already wandering the lands looking for hookers, looking for beer. 1 year old in human years, but about 20 in his years. He wandered those regions until he ended up spending time at MarketWatch.com. You remember Thomas Paine? You remember that scraggy old dude in the summer 2012? I'm a behavioral economist. I'm going to scare you to death. Yeah, MarketWatch.com, I used to consider it the low-rent part of financial reporting. I doubt it's changed since then. About the only thing that's changed since then is just about all forms of journalism have become lower rent. So, you know, they're still finding the bottom in the world of the journalistic world. How low can they go? You tell me, baby. They're worried that they're doing a dumb job now because they're not really doing their job that any computer can do. I'll write a story based on inputs, CIA, Brookings, Rand Corporation, Department of Defense. So by the year 2012, you know, our good friend Dr. Freckles was working a software tester gig for Digley's Stuff Emporium. They had pink noise that would give you a cone of silence. They had the technology of pink noise that would rot your brain. George, I'm picking up the potato chips pretty good. I'm sorry. Yes, in 2012, Dr. Freckles got a job at Digley's Stuff Emporium. He worked at the Issaquah office. There was pink noise. It would create a cone of silence. It would rot your brain. There was a sense of despair at Diggly's. They're a very successful company. You probably shop there. You probably have a membership at Diggly's. But there was a general sense of despair. You'd shop at the company store, and the company store was all Diggly's. They had Diggly's hot dogs and Diggly's pizza and Diggly's torpedo-style taco mungets. Made of a squandered featured creature that lives at the bottom of the sea, Dr. Freckles was concerned about the Fukushima fish. You know what I'm saying, baby? And so they had frozen squab and glib and singit. And they had a little bit of Warnet sauce that you could put on a piece of cracker and shove into your face and play pretend that your hopefulness is not just another delusion. But while Dr. Freckles was at Diggly's software testing, he spent a lot of time on MarketWatch.com posting, you know, remember Thomas Paine? He was a pain. And there was always that article from the old kook. Well, if you don't watch out, zombies will begin to form in your engine block. He had all these weird theories. He'd have an article about every day, some new BS fear. And at the same time, he would promote a kind of Keynesian nonsense that seemed a lot like that dude that used to sell that book on how to get free stuff from the federal government. That guy. So if you were a commenter at MarketWatch.com in 2012, you would have seen Dr. Freckles' crude comments as the peak noise infested his brain, pushing him to the limit, driving him a little bit insane. Did you know that Dr. Freckles ran for president in 2012? That's right. The Ninth Corps realm of Sector 2 and Sector 7 formed a dingit ring. They decided to promote Dr. Freckles as the variable candidate who is willing to oppose all forces opposed to opposition. He would have a chorus of singers follow him from city to city as he frolicked and spread the joy of freedom. Sure, he would probably want to use, you know, allow people to use gold and silver to trade, and that would be a problem for the Federal Reserve. Because, you know, at first it would be just a trickle, and then within a month it would be a flood. So, yeah, he wouldn't abolish the Federal Reserve. No, no, no. He would say, you have the option of using gold and silver. And then watch what happens next. But Dan, couldn't it be, you can have your Bitcoin. I just want the option to trade with gold and silver. That's what Dr. Freckles would say. Yes, later in 2020 at Chop Chaz Chopia, Dr. Freckles would stand up and join the forces of Lord Raz. But this is another story for another day. That whole Chop Chaz Chopia thing in Seattle in 2020, that was a real brain poison for a lot of people that live there. Yeah. Dr. Freckles was Sector General during the first Juggalo War. He tore the insane clown posse a new hole, and they smoked a bowl and made a peace treaty. One day in 2015, Dr. Freckles woke up and said, "The milk smells bad. Something smells bad. When I step outside and smell," Dr. Freckles said, "it smells bad." He was living in Indianapolis at the time. And he wasn't sure what the smell was. I mean, it wasn't like there was rotten milk everywhere. But he had this sense that whatever we were calling reality, normal, everyday life, was about to change in about 5 years. And so he said to himself, since all of this is going to turn to Squombly, since the region princesses will join forces with the various tribes of the sky, since the time of the overhawk will come forth and a fire-breathing, probably French bulldog, will arise out of Lake Washington on its way to Sodom, then let's, you know, hang out in the apartment. Let's enjoy ourselves with sprinkly champagne. Let's watch the world burn. We could just, you know, look through the window as the scrumbly folk engage in combat and watch the world burn. We could do that if we wanted to. But that's actually a really low energy place to be. So Dr. Freckles went on a lot of wacky journeys. He fought a goat king. He found himself a whiskey wizard. He confronted the dark sector witches of Region 12, also known as Frankton. He found himself enguzzled within the various volcano springs of Devland. He was willing to stand up against the Horgan tribes who were forming east of, you know, probably east of Swiggins. Did you know he ran for presidential office again in 2016? He told you on a poster, Trump is this year's Obama. It wasn't meant to be funny. And then Dr. Freckles was chased down to nothing. Hunted. He was hunted by freaks, hunted by grifters, hunted by soothsayers, hunted by demagogues, chased down the hole where he could live in the sewer and live like a person. Yeah, he could live like a person, maybe. It's kind of like that Florida woman. You remember her from a podcast months ago? Florida woman, a 40-year-old woman who was going into the storm drains, the sewers, to live. And I told you it was like that Twilight Zone episode where the kids' parents are getting divorced. And so they go into the swimming pool and they swim through the sewer, I guess, or the storm drain. Who knows where swimming pools go, the sewer. And they find themselves with Aunt B. She's making apple pie. She's got fresh cream. She says, come on by. Stay, little black and white children. Stay, little children of the past. Stay from old TV. Stay with Aunt B. Yeah. And technically, the black and white was a reference to black and white TV. But also, just the simple fact that they were gingers. I think they were ginger kids. The ginger kids are usually the ones that get flushed down the sewer or something. I'm a ginger. I know the story. I'm willing to bet that Joseph from Genesis was a ginger. You get tossed down a well. Toss the red-headed kid down the well. He doesn't care. Yeah, he ran for office again, but really did it matter? It didn't matter. Because he came to the realization that voting was nonsense, that the clown folk for all time knew this. If you read the Chronicles of Yorbis on Amazon.com, if you want to read it, if you read Clown Adamus, more or less the Nostradamus of the Obama years, if you read the ancient texts, including the lost lectures of Charles Manson, all on Amazon.com, put my name in, Daniel Sullivan. I'm not saying you should read it or buy it, but boy, wouldn't that be funny. Including my whole Dendritica blog. So the only blog you can't really get access to as far as content is the one in between, the one GoDaddy stole. So anywho. Yeah, in 2016, Dr. Freckles reached his limit, so he decided to form Dr. Freckles Global Tontine Club. Yes, Dr. Freckles Global Tontine Club promises a bright future, as you are the before mentioned man or woman dwelling upon this wretched earth, and I'm reading the contract. It shall be known, as foretold by Jube, the overlord of the common crabs that scurry about, it shall be known and realized at birth that all souls alive or dead on planet Earth, to include nearby parallel universe Earths or other planets like Earth that might be in a synchronous orbit behind the sun, so we don't, you know where they are, you know, like that show Far Side of the Sun, that movie from the 60s, but they're there, a shadow Earth, reverso people, reverso lives, and you have no idea what they're planning. Anyways, this contract applies to them too. Anywho, this global tontine is the principal legal contract obliging you, the above described wretched crab, to Dr. Freckles and all of his various initiatives and other types of heinous, you know, scumbaggery. These are the general subclauses of this agreement you made with me without knowing it, or maybe kind of remembering it, like in some hypnotherapy session, and you're remembering past lives, crap like that. I don't care how you feel, this is social contract. Clause 1. You promise to tithe 3% of your earned income in gold and silver and Bitcoin and whatever else you might be hiding in that shack out back each year, 3%. If you earn nothing, you pay nothing. If you lie about what you're earning, you might get beaten to a pulp. Clause 2, all men and women are free. No governments are allowed except for Dr. Freckles Global Tontine Club. Clause 3, this is pure anarchy if you're not a jerk about it. Its purpose is to protect your basic freedom to not be protected, you know, your basic freedom. Its purpose is to protect your basic freedom to not be protected from not having freedom. Yeah, you figure it out. And if some jerk came along and threatened your freedom, well, guess what? We're forming Enforcer Squad Zeta. Enforcer Squad Zeta is a freedom enforcer squad. They go around beating up bullies. They go around taking out the bad guy for you. That's what your 3% voluntary donation from your income each year, only if you're making money, goes to. Isn't that nice? For all you night watchmen libertarians. Clause 4, the Enforcer Squad Zeta will have a mission of kicking all bullies in their butts. If there are no bullies, they will go into hibernation mode, maybe learn to play golf or go spearfishing and crap. Who knows what a specialized Enforcer Squad does if there's no one to beat to a pulp. Clause 5 of your Global Tontine. The Enforcer Squad will consist of a sexy nurse capable of martial arts and all kinds of stuff. And she's probably going to be scantily clad, if we're honest. There will also be a portly, mildly handsome dude between the age of 45 and 55, probably an ex-code monkey. He's got red hair. He's got a belly. He hides his gold. Don't ask where. The third person will be a Chinese man, really good at acrobatics, and pretends to not know English. The fourth will be a German dude that doesn't know English but pretends to know Chinese. He's an expert rifleman and sniper. We will also have an Italian love expert because it's a cliche. Roof Koreans, are honorary members of Enforcer Squad Zeta. They are the harbingers, the sentinels. They go to the roof with their, you know what, you can't say it out loud, in a Washington par. But yes, Roof Koreans for all time are members of Enforcer Squad Zeta. There is no king of the squad like the Round Table of old. This is the sixth clause, except more of a franchise operation. You can form your own Enforcer Squad Zeta according to the membership definitions, or you can be a bit creative. That's okay. It's possible that Enforcer Squads get upset with each other and they go crazy and attack each other. You know, in general, historically, Enforcer Squads have really terrible outcomes. Dr. Freckles' Global Tontine Club is indemnified against all legal action in this universe and the 52.68 other universes for all accidents, electrocutions, concussions from being beaten up by Enforcer Squads, other traumas, physical, mental, or otherwise, and all damages one could reasonably attribute to rabid dogs with supernatural powers. Just don't try to sue us. We're always on the move. Our address changes because we're travelers, baby. We're serious about the rabid dogs. The eighth clause of this global tontine style social contract is tacos are always a justification for, you know, raising it up a level, because really, don't mess with people's tacos. Taco Tuesday is always Tuesday. Finally, and most importantly, the ninth point, we'll probably need to round up all the, you know, nuclear weapons, because no one can be trusted with them. And since no one can be trusted with them, it stands the logic that we can only entrust them to Enforcer Squad Zeta. Yours, principal signatory, Dr. Horatio F., you figure it out, buddy. F. in Freckles, you, the other party, you signed an ancient tontine while you were in your mother's womb. You didn't know about it because it's a repressed memory. We call it social contract. It's all John Locke. It's all Voltaire. It's all Rousseau. And, you know, all their famous Enlightenment estates totally protected you in 2020. You know, the journalists and the writers and the lawyers and the soldiers and the clergy. There were so much there that they did to protect us. That's sarcasm. So, yeah, Dr. Freckles in late 2016 formed, essentially, a kind of shadow government on planet Boblimpdoc. Dr. Freckles' Global Tontine Club, and despite the fact that the dfgtc.org was stolen by GoDaddy, stolen, that's what it is, thievery, despite that fact, it still lives as a thing that I think I have provable artistic control over. And, you know, who knows who wants to hire a lawyer in the future? As Dr. Freckles entered 2017 and 2018, he had various experiences of the past. He started remembering the time of sassafras pancakes at McDonald's with squibbly and whale lard, where you could say, "Can I have the fermented loin grease of dogs and cats?" And clowns were allowed to have this if they wanted it. He entered that year of 2017 and he'd go get a Brumbly sandwich and some type of trub. And sometimes the person at McDonald's would say, "Would you like, you know, would you like to supersize that?" And he said, "You know what, baby? That's what she said." Yeah, that's not good. In those years of 2017 and 2018, especially when he saw that article from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in 2018 warning of disease X, we don't know what it is, it's going to kill people, it's really scary, we gave it a scary name. Disease X. I read an article about that in April or May of 2018, baby. And I thought, this is some kind of crap. And at the time, if I'd connected dots, I would have realized they were, in the PSYOP sense, preparing the battlefield. You know, if you're going to do a big PSYOP, you have to introduce ideas related to it years and years earlier. And if you look at the history of pop culture around viruses, that's what Dr. Freckles thought, you'll find a lot of stuff that's been inserted, baby. In fact, the whole movie Contagion from 2011 is more or less the COVID movie with little changes. I just had a bug on my screen bug here, you know, it's one of those things, you get a screen bug or something. So anywho, as we get forward in time to those years of 2017-18, it occurred to Dr. Freckles that success is just one failure away. You could be going someplace really scary. You could have a problem and then another problem, but only one more problem separates you from success. When the monkey herpes came in the time of Boblimpdoc, when the monkey herpes came, our friend Freckles, he went insane. He did cocaine. And he said to himself, Boblimpdoc is the time of the featureless beast with fangs and claws. It crawls out of the worst part of the human mind and it ends up saying to you, hey, did you know that these were your neighbors? Dr. Freckles wandered Seattle in 2020, wandering, wondering what had happened to the human race. He pondered that this terrible pandemic of monkey herpes was shutting down the world except for construction and truckers. And homeless people seemed unaffected and the flu disappeared. And they blocked off 12th Avenue so that commies could march down the street. Basically, you know, cutting off main access points to every major emergency room in Seattle, basically blocking traffic that somebody with the monkey herpes might need. Dr. Freckles inferred by the end of 2020 that whatever it wasn't real. And he learned about his neighbors. All the neighbors, some of whom might have been at Berkeley back in the 60s during the free speech movement. He learned about his neighbors, people that should have stood up for liberty, people that should have been brave, people that should have practiced common sense. But in every corner, every belief system, on every side of every fence, he found the same thing. A vapid, empty, soulless obedience to an authority that most people didn't understand. This wasn't good, Dr. Freckles thought. By 2021, he was not having fun, sitting in a pod, you know, washing his bod, you know, flushing the thing, cleaning the clothes, but barely just sort of hanging on, really. And then he had, you know, some good friends come up and pick him up. You know, they made it up there. They picked him up and suddenly Dr. Freckles found himself to be, you know, the sector guard, that he was the quandary stirred, that his hair was on fire. He makes money selling protein. He sells Scored Demons and Grid 77. Yes, it's Crushed Scored Demon, Dr. Freckles was telling people back in 2021 in Sector and Grid 77. If you eat the Scored Demon crushed and nicely powdered and mix it into your coffee, it adds excitement to your morning time. You can go get yourself a biscuit or some type of brand muffin and feel really good about yourself, and then drive your Tesla to Google, okay? Yes, during this latter stage of the monkey herpes, Freckles hid in Sector 99 Bravo, also known as Utah. He found people in Utah. He found decent, kind people. Small town folk, not perfect, believe me. Dr. Freckles was being chased by the police not so many weeks ago. But in the age of peace, in 2021, 2022, this much of 2023, he sojourned with some kind folk in a small town. He broke his arm and he made friends with a dog named Boomer. And then it ended. It ended, and he found himself on the run, on the road. He found himself wandering from one truck stop to the next. Hey, buddy, will you take me back home to Washington? Because I watched a movie when I was a kid. I think it was a Disney movie or something called Where the Whales Go to Die. Yeah. Dr. Freckles had to flee Utah. He had to flee a place of peace. It was quite recently. He got onto the stranger's truck, baby. That was the garbage dump truck, but they don't take garbage anymore at the park here in Greenkentown. They say, yeah, you're looking kind of sick. They say, hey, yeah, you look like you have a bellyache. Get into the truck. And then your friends and family get coupons. This is something Dr. Freckles have noticed at the parks. Your friends and family get coupons to Taco Bell, a special day of the week now, Thursdays. Thursdays is blue taco meat day. You don't ask why the taco meat is blue. You don't ask questions about the tattoo. You just take that taco meat and you shove it down your blimptus pipe and you go back to work and you pull a lever or push a button. That's what Dr. Freckles thought. He was wandering the peninsula recently. He went into a Walmart and Squim. He got himself a six-pack and cigs and more. He bought this from a Sikh named Derg. He had a short word at the end. He said, you should have asked for the plastic bags before. You should have asked for those bags before, sir. Before we complete the transaction. And Freckles was like, I'm sorry. I don't come from planet bullshit. Yeah, and you know, Dr. Freckles moved on as that man took his evil eye and pointed it at his broken soul and said, you go back, hobo. You go back to the sewer. You go with Florida man and Florida woman into the storm drain. You live like chud and mole people. And you find hope in the darkness, because now where there's light, there is darkness. That's what the gas station guy said when I didn't pay for the bag before I bought the stuff. I would have paid him, but no, he'd rather shoot disdain at me and usher me forth than get paid. That's also Boblimpdoc. That's Bo Blimp, Doc. People would rather be angry than get themselves paid. Yeah. At night in the park one night, Freckles screamed with fright. He said, "The toilet is where the crap belongs." Because he remembered that day in 2015 with the milk smelled bad, but it wasn't the milk, it was reality. It was everything that surrounded him. And so the other night he woke up and realized the toilet's where the crap goes. "Just wait a second," he screamed in the night, "the flush is coming, the great flush." The giant flush. Find a crusty thing on the side of the bowl. Hang on tight, because the flush is coming. The flush is coming, baby. Freckles also woke up in fear and anguish. He said, "Stuff is not shielded as much as people think stuff is. You know, stuff's not ready. Stuff's not a shield. And it doesn't mean just one thing. It means everything. It means that whatever buffer there is, whatever container still has stuff in it, there isn't very much stuff. Stuff's not shielded as much as you think it is. Not your public school, not your city life, not any of your big stores like Diggly's." Man, I love working for Diggly's. I mean, Dr. Freckles did. And then today, Dr. Freckles went into a Walmart. He was getting some tarp and some tools and some gruels. He was getting some Gribbly and various canned forms of Stimulac. And as he wandered the Walmart, people stared at him. A person wearing a coffee filter started following him. You know, he'd wear his coffee filter. He'd give that angry look. And how would you know with a coffee filter on, baby? How would you know? Like, that's one of the questions I've had since 2020. How would you really know how another person is feeling, other than asking them, if they're wearing a mask? It's irrelevant whether you need to or not. That's not the point. If you have to, how would you know? And the simple answer is, a lot of human communication, as Dr. Freckles well knows, goes through the nose. No, it's on the face. It's human expression. This applies to dogs too, guess what? And if you take away that much of human communication, there's a lot you just don't know. It's one of the reasons why various businesses prior to the monkey herpes said, you know, don't wear a mask. I'm a bank. I'm a convenience store. We'd appreciate it if you wouldn't wear a mask. It made logical sense, especially in terms of identifying people. But it's just good to know if people are serious, if they're dangerous, if they're real. How would you know? But Dr. Freckles wandered to this Walmart just today, and he was chased by the coffee filter wearers and the infinity tears and the various leisure clothing type styly persons with their various types of traptions, you know, moving stuff through frictionless air hockey and their own electric fantasy. If he'd go one way, the cult would move the other. If he went down one aisle, there'd be a blocking dude, probably a tall dude, who sends his anger through his beady eyes. And then you move another way, but the other dude's there, right? And every face is grimaced, and every brow is furrowed. And there's this general sense that people are walking through their own personal thing, and that what Dr. Freckles might really be seeing isn't so much about him as it is about a tidal wave of something that people feel is coming, but they can't name it, they can't describe it, and currently they're probably being lied to about it. That's what Dr. Freckles was thinking. And who knows what it is? Could be aliens, could be Bigfoot, could be the mole people are going to attack, baby. You can hear them marching and digging, 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 digging. They're digging and digging, those mole people. I can't tell you this is the whole story of Dr. Freckles because it came out of nowhere in 2010. It was really, I was on some news sites, these Google News Reader sites, they're very basic, and they wanted a username. And so I just thought, you know what, Dr. Freckles. But it was right about that time of the flash crash, and it was one of those absurd moments in recent economic history. I don't think anybody has a satisfactory explanation, not just for the crash, but what happened moments later. It magically inflated. It magically went up. Maybe a few hours later, it was in the green. And then it was, every afternoon, you're probably in the green. So sell in the morning, and then buy, or sell in the afternoon, really. Sell in the afternoon, buy in the morning, sell in the afternoon, and build up your war chest. Buy when people are depressed at 6 a.m. because certain stocks, I don't know how to put this, in a neo-Stalinist hellhole are going to do bad, and it won't be about economics. Well, not totally. Yeah, after the flash crash in 2010, it was more or less predictable that every afternoon you'd have a mini recovery. Somebody was buying, somebody was keeping things afloat, and then it became simply a behavior that was ingrained in people. So, you know, you didn't have to like pump it as much. People were pumping it themselves. Pump, pump and dump. Buy the dip. That was the meme, right? Back in 2012. Buy the dip. And it was the meme every year, and it still technically is. I mean, that's the thing. Buy the dip. You can't fight the Fed. There is no alternative. FOMO. Don't miss out. Hey, they're coming out with a new robot next year that will stick a tube in your shinctus and clean out your brumblies. Everybody's going to want it over the age of 50. I know I do. Buy it. The stock is pennies, pennies right now. But you'll become rich. You'll be super rich. But sell by, you know, I would sell probably by, I don't know, 7 or 8 p.m. after you buy low. Sell at the high, baby. Maybe midnight. Build a mathematical model of the buy the dip. Yeah. But this isn't the whole story of Dr. Freckles. Can't do it in one podcast. I'm already, you know, going longer than I expected to. That's not bad. It's just that's already happening, right? If you listen to this podcast and you want to learn about more than just the life of Dr. Freckles, you can donate to it. I had a flurry of donations the other day, so if you already donated, believe me, you are not obligated to donate again. A lot of you, in my opinion, have donated for multiple lifetimes. If I was able to have the podcast I wanted, where people could just donate a little. That being said, if you listen to this podcast or just found it on the interweb, on the planetary space communications, if you're an alien zone being and you just received this 10 light years from now, you're probably going to be disappointed by what you see. 10 years from now, yeah. But anyways, if you want to donate, you can. Here are the rules. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. Before you donate to any random person on the internet, any amount of money, remember that. Take care of yourself first. Also, I mention this sometimes, but not all the time. This is not tax deductible. I feel like it should be obvious based on the content, but it isn't tax deductible, okay? If you're thinking you're going to get a tax deduction by donating to me, the answer is no. Before you donate to me, take care of the people in your life that need help. There are people in your life today that need help. You know, sure, I'm a single dude in my 50s who has two pennies to rub together. Well, that's not true. After the last couple days, you guys helped me out a lot. I have a place to live for a week at least. I have resources to find a way out. I'm working on a plan. I'm not really going to stress myself out today because I also need a little bit of a break from the stress. But the bottom line is there are other people in your life that probably need help. So if you just started listening and you're thinking about donating, before you donate to me, help out the people around you. And if you do set aside food in case of emergencies, remember to think about your pet. Remember to think about your cat. I like dogs. You might have a parrot. If you're setting aside food for yourself or a way to, you know, produce water, anything, you need to set aside the requisite amounts for your pet. Emergencies happen, okay? They happen. We live in Boblimptock. It's not the end of the world, but baby. Think about your pet and specifically your dog. Your dog will do anything it can to help you if it can. So remember that if things are hard. And also remember, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, these times are crazy. They are really crazy at times. And you could say to yourself, well, Dan, I went to Starbucks today and I ordered a 17 and a half latte with half-calf coffee and a triple sardine sandwich with the bunion cheese from that part of France that's currently on fire. And instead, they gave me muzzle eggs and Zingus. They gave me a bluish substance they called prud. They say, wipe it on the bread, wait 5 seconds, and you'll have yourself a tasty, sumptuous dish. Yeah. Even though that happened to you, it's still not the end of the world, okay? I remember telling people 9 years ago, the smartest thing you can do is not keep a list of disappointments because that's just plain dumb. At that time, I told people that's dumb. The smartest thing you can do is keep a list of the good things. Number one, at this point in human history, how can I put this? You don't have to worry about it becoming a super long list. But number two, you'll simply spend less time angry. Because if you get disappointed by the fact that things don't work exactly the way you want to, well, in every life, in every age, in every time, that's been the case. And for a lot of people. And if you happen to be lucky in a situation where things have worked and been reliable, well, times could come where they won't be so. And you might not get the meal you want. And maybe that cook or that waiter or that person at that restaurant is having a really crappy day. My best advice, don't keep track of the dark. Keep a small list of things that still have value. That's the sort of the commerce we should be doing, actually, really. So go out and have fun, you know, but don't get disappointed. And if you've done all this and you still have cash left over because you're some type of Texas billionaire and you go down the street each day with 2 6-guns going pew, 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 well, guess what? If you want to, you can donate as much as you want to. I don't think it's likely this is going to happen, but man, people should dream, baby. So donate if you want to, you don't have to, and a bunch of you guys have been really generous with your time and other resources, so really, like I said, I feel like you've donated lifetime's worth. But if you want to donate because you're a new listener and you want to make sure a hobo can stay alive in the park and go on to other better, bigger things in the future because, you know, we'll all be traveling in rocket ships soon, then donate what you want to. So for Wednesday, August the 23rd, 2023, Boblimptock. It's around 11:44 a.m. It's getting a little bit cloudy here, but I don't think it's going to rain. It's not too windy. I think the audio will be better because of that. You can hear the waves coming in here at Greenkentown Park. It's because the Blungo ships are heading out to sea. They take the Scrog, they take the Dlimbus, they take the misery and the pain and the anguish, the sadness, the rage. They take all that negative energy that gets collected on I-5 by those negative energy collectors, and then they dump it in the Gulf of Alaska. Dump it. They dump it at sea. So those are the waves you're hearing. I hope you guys have a great rest of your Wednesday. It's hump day, right? And that has a kind of symbolic meaning to the working class, am I correct? To the people who go into jobs. I'm middle class. You're working. So you're working class. If you have a magical yacht that transports you to magical places and you don't have to do much all day, well, then you're either a hobo or a billionaire. Or a hobillionaire. So for Wednesday, just after 11:45 a.m. here in Greenkentown Park on the Puget Sound where the Scrog ships go by, I hope you have a great rest of your day. If you don't hear from me again, I hope you have a great rest of your week and everything else.